Come on!
Look for something unusual. Something hard. Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Kumite and welcome to Van Damme and Jean-Claude, a monthly Jean-Claude Van Damme movie review podcast. I'm your host, Paul Schroyer, and we are in for a treat this month. I am talking about the 1995 movie Sudden Death, which tagline was Terror Goes into Overtime. Which, that's pretty true, and we'll get into that. This movie came out in 1995, it's a really good movie. I liked it, and I can't wait to talk about it, so let's just go ahead and get right into it. It starts out with firefighters fighting a house fire. You hear Jean-Claude Van Damme yelling that he's here, and it pans downstairs, and you see him trapped underneath some rubble in the basement, holding a little girl, giving her oxygen with his mask. Then the roof collapses in on him, and the firefighters come to save him. Finds out the girl didn't make it. She was smothered under the rubble and ends up dying. Here comes our first of many title cards within probably the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie. They just fire these title cards at us, like, left and right. The first one was actually really long. It was like three different clips with this title card. So it starts out 2 years later, then it goes to game day, and then it goes 4 hours until face off. That's right, guys. If you didn't know it, we are watching a hockey movie. I don't really know too many hockey action movies, really. I think this might be one of the... I'm sure there's others, but this is, like, really the only one I could think of. And I guess, you know, they were like, well, what? You know, there's baseball movies, basketball. Like, how many hockey movies are there? There's not very many hockey movies except for, like, the Mighty Ducks. And those are pretty... Mighty Ducks was pretty popular around this time. So they were like, let's cash in on that. Oops, sorry guys, dropped my notebook. They're like, let's cash in on that. And so they decide to do this hockey movie, and I'm so glad they did. So 2 hours later, 4 hours until face... Oh, sorry, 2 years later, 4 hours until face-off. It cuts a hockey stadium. We find out that it's the last game of the Stanley Cup, and it's the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the Chicago Blackhawks. Then it cuts to like a construction site going on. A security car pulls up. Some bad guys hop out, steal the security car, and kill the security officers. And then the construction site clears up. We meet Jean-Claude Van Damme, whose name in this movie is Darren McCord. Darren McCord. He pulls up to his ex-wife's house. The stepfather's out there tossing with the little boy. You find out is his son, Tyler. And also he has a daughter named Emily. It's Tyler's birthday. And he has tickets to the final Stanley Cup game. And decides he wants to take his daughter and his son to the game because he is the fire inspector who's working during the Stanley Cup. I guess they have to have a fire inspector in the building to make sure everything's to code. I would feel like the fire inspector would probably go there prior to the game actually starting. But, you know, who knows. So after some nagging from the wife, they decide... The wife decides to let the kids go with the father to the Stanley Cup game. Cuts to the bad guys. They got bombs inside of stuffed penguins. And, yeah, they're, like, loading up bags of popcorn with bombs and stuff. We get our second title card. It says 2 hours until game. It says 2 hours until game. It's the only title card that says until game. The rest of them say, like, until face-off. So I don't know why, for one of them, they decided to put until game instead of until face-off. I don't know. This little sequence was kind of short. It just shows the vice president. You find out the vice president is attending the game. And this is where you officially find out that it's Pittsburgh versus Chicago. Then it cuts to 90 minutes until face-off. And at this point, Darren McCord has arrived with his son and daughter. His daughter goes off with Mr. Icy, which is the mascot for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's actually a female inside the mascot, because Tyler makes some joke about who cares about some fat guy in a penguin costume. And Van Damme goes, "Oh, that hot blonde is actually the fat guy in the penguin costume." So he takes him to the locker room. His son gets to meet all the stars in the locker room. You find out that Jean-Claude Van Damme was a goalie when he was younger, and that he was actually pretty good at hockey. That comes into play later on in the movie. We get another cue card, 20 minutes until face-off. Now the vice president has finally arrived to the stadium. He walks. He visits the locker room. We see the one and only butt in the whole movie. Yeah, I know it's disappointing, but we don't see Jean-Claude Van Damme's butt in this one. But it shows one of the hockey players is standing there naked. The coach says something about, you know, put a jock strap on. So the dude takes the jock strap and puts it on his head and not, you know, where it goes. And the coach says, "Oh, finally, you put it on the right head, or that's the right head to protect," or something like that. Making a dick joke. So then, so it's the Penguins versus Blackhawks. You don't see the vice president going into the Blackhawks locker room. You really only see, like, the Pittsburgh Penguins side of it, because I guess this takes place in Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'm not too sure if the Stanley Cup is played at the same stadium. I don't know too much about hockey. So is it played at the same stadium as, you know, one of the teams? Like, do they take turns, or is it like a football thing where they play in a completely neutral stadium somewhere? I'm not too sure. If you know, you can email me at vditsjc@gmail.com, or head over to Magic Squirrel Network on Facebook and drop a comment on the post about this episode. Okay, so let's go on with the movie. You see a bad guy pull up to this old lady's house. He pulls out a gun, takes her inside, kind of takes her hostage. You find out that this is the head chef of the stadium's wife. The head chef who will be cooking for the vice president's skybox. And they call the chef and have the wife tell the chef to take the bad guys up with him into the vice president's skybox, or else his wife's gonna get killed. The chef complies. They kill his wife anyways, and so the bad guys mow down everybody, all the Secret Service except for like two of them, and ends up killing the chef as well. So the chef does what they say, and his wife and him get killed anyways. I guess there's no way for him to really know, but I feel like, you know, it's the vice president. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe risk it. Would you really risk your life and your wife's life for the vice president? I mean, I guess that's a philosophical question for another day. So now the bad guys have pretty much taken the mayor and a bunch of people hostage. Like I said, killed all but two of the Secret Services. They shoot one in the leg. I'm pretty sure he ends up bleeding out at some point in the movie. You don't really see too much from him again. And you find out what their demands are. There are Several frozen bank accounts from different countries. 13. There's 13 frozen bank accounts for several different countries frozen by the U.S. government, totaling $1.2 billion or something like that. And he wants them unfrozen and transferred to another bank account where he's going to end up transferring it to different bank accounts and so on and so forth. He says he wants a third of the assets or the money unfrozen by the end of the first period, or one person gets shot. Two-thirds by the end of the second period, or two people get shot. And by the end of the game, if all of the assets, or money I should say, because, yeah, it's money. If all of the money isn't unfrozen by the end of the game, he's going to blow up the whole stadium and kill everybody. So they go around, you know, he's showing them, Van Damme's showing them a bunch of different places. This time he sits them down in the chair, tells them he's got to go to work. They're sitting in their seats watching the game. Says he'll be back later, don't go anywhere, even if the stadium is falling down around him. That's what he tells Tyler, his son. And after he leaves, you know, he starts talking hella shit about his dad, about how all he does is change light bulbs, how he's too scared to be a real firefighter. And then he spills Emily's Coke all over her and causes her to run off to the bathroom to get it to dry off, pretty much. At this point, it's the end of the first period, and no money has been unfrozen, so he shoots the main bad guy, which, I'm sorry, but I don't know if they ever said his name in the movie, but I didn't catch it. So I'm going to refer to everybody as bad guys or main bad guy. And the main bad guy is the dude who's making all the demands and holding the vice president hostage and talking to the Secret Service and all that stuff. So the main bad guy shoots the mayor's wife, kills her, and and calls the Secret Service again while he's doing it to pretty much like prove that he's going to do something. Emily at this time goes into the bathroom and sees Mr. Icy, the Pittsburgh Penguin mascot, kill, I guess, a server or something, a lady in the bathroom. And so the Penguin goes to grab Emily. She takes off running, but the mascot ends up catching her and takes her to the elevator leading to the vice president's box. She shoots the Secret Service guy on the outside of the elevator, ends up using all of her bullets, and can't shoot the little girl. Takes her into the vice president's box. The main bad guy is kind of a little upset about, you know, the mascot not shooting and killing the little girl. And this is when the little girl kind of like tells him like who his dad is. And that his dad's going to come and, like, kick his butt and all this stuff. And, like, she gives, like, his full name and everything. So they do, like, a background check. Oh, I forgot to tell you. When the bad guys showed up, I thought this was hilarious. So the bad guys show up and kill all the Secret Service and everything. And they, like, start opening these briefcases. And inside the briefcases were, like, mini TVs. And, like, some were computer screens, I guess, monitoring the bank accounts to see if they get unfrozen or transferred or something like that. But then the other ones were like little mini TVs for like surveillance cameras. And I mean, they were just in little briefcases. There was no like big hard drive, like mainframe for the computer. I don't know. In 1995, there's definitely was not the technology for that, but it was kind of cool looking, I guess. So Van Damme sees Emily being drug off with the mascot and follows him. He goes into the kitchen and down the elevator comes down and it's the mascot, Mr. Icy. And Van Damme's asking, you know, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? Sees her pull out a gun and starts fighting. Now, what I really liked about this movie was, like, Van Damme's fighting in this movie wasn't like he was some, like, badass martial artist or some trained martial artist or anything. Like, he was still doing kicks and some stuff that, like, regular people probably couldn't do. But it wasn't, like, over the top. Like, he was fighting, like, a pretty much like a regular person would fight. Like, he was getting his ass beat hardcore by this mascot. And I'm telling you, this fight scene was awesome. Seeing Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, punching a mascot in the face and, like, kicking him and stuff was pretty awesome. But he gets his ass beat by her, like, thrown around, like, all over things. Like, almost gets his face in a grill and stuff like that. And it was pretty awesome. Well, what does it is, he finally grabs the red crushed peppers, like the stuff you put on pizza and stuff like that, and dumps it into the eye holes of the mascot. And so she goes blind for a little bit, and then he, like, kicks her onto the dishwashing machine, and her little strap for her mask gets caught in the conveyor belt that loads the dishwasher, and it ends up choking her to death. So, like, even, like, the kills are, like, sloppy. Like, it was just, like, a fluke thing. Like, they did a pretty good job of making Van Damme seem like a normal person. So he goes to try to find a security guard, you know, like, because he just killed a mascot and he was fighting. And he's like, oh, hey, can you help me? So he comes in and shortly after finds out that he's one of the bad guys. They fight. He's a little bit more prepared this time because he just got his ass beat by a mascot, so his adrenaline's already running. He takes the dude and starts, like, putting his head on, like, dry ice and, like, holding it there for a little bit, and he's pretty much torturing this guy. And so the bad guy ends up spilling the whole beans, like, tells him everything, pulls out a knife in his sock and tries to stab Van Damme, but Van Damme wasn't having it. He takes a chicken bone and rams it in the dude's neck, ends up killing him. So he's running, trying to find, like, picking up payphones, trying to call the cops, can't find anything. He goes into, like, the employee locker room, I'm guessing is what it was or something, and sees the blonde girl who was supposed to be Mr. Icy, shot in the head and hanging in the closet. So he's a little sad about that. They seemed like they were friends or something. But he ends up finding a cell phone, calls the police. They say stay in there for 90 seconds. So he hangs up. Shortly after, he gets a call from Secret Service agent Hallmark, who's, I guess, head of the Secret Service out there. And they start talking. And pretty much, Jean-Claude Van Damme tells him that he's going to go and find the bombs and disarm them himself. And Hallmark's like, are you alone? And Van Damme's like, no, I'm not. So he's, like, smart enough to, like, not let him know that he's by himself, which I guess is smart, you know, to make him think there's multiple people in case, you know, a bad guy's listening or something like that. Well, the Secret Service aren't very smart. They were warned by the main bad guy not to try to enter in air, by foot, by any way, or people are just going to die. So they try to send in agents, and as they're walking up to the arena, cars start blowing up, and like three or four agents die. Then they try to send in a helicopter, and the dude who took the head chef's wife hostage shoots the helicopter down with an RPG. Then they try to send undercovers in, but the guy with the mini TV surveillance briefcase sees them all, so they're able to point them all out and kill them and stuff them inside a Zamboni, which is the thing that cleans off the ice in a hockey game. Sends them outside with a dead guy driving the Zamboni, and they all fall out of the little area that holds the ice that they cleans up, and so that fails. So they're unable to get anybody inside, just like the main bad guy said they wouldn't. But by this time, McCord is able to find the first bomb. He finds out it's C4. Apparently, he knows a little bit of something about C4. I don't know if firefighters are trained in that or not, but I don't think they are. My younger brother's a firefighter, and I don't think he ever got C4 bomb disarming training. I could be wrong, though. All right, so now we're getting to the end of the second period. Now money has started to transfer, but it's not enough. So the main bad guy kills the mayor. He's going to kill the second person, and then all of a sudden the funds start transferring faster. So he doesn't end up killing the second one. So after he disarms the first bomb, cuts back to Van Damme. He goes to the control room for the outside billboard, little big sign outside the stadium. And he starts using that to communicate to the Secret Service agents, telling them that it's C4 and that he's disarming them. Well, the old lady hostage taker guy comes with his RPG and shoots the billboard and blows it up. So, you know, now he has no way of communicating with the Secret Service guys outside. So Van Damme, a little disheartened, you know, decides to MacGyver some shit. If you're a younger person and you don't really know who MacGyver is, he was a guy who could, like, make something out of, like, anything. So, like, you could give him a gun and a stick, and he would make you like a bow and arrow or some crazy shit like that. So he MacGyvers like this dart gun where he takes a fire extinguisher and like makes some parts on a circular saw and puts them together, puts it up his sleeve, and he's able to like squeeze the fire extinguisher to shoot a dart out. Well, he runs into a guy while he's finding the second C4 to disarm, and sure enough, he uses the dart gun to shoot him in the neck and kill him. There's another guy who comes up behind McCord and is about to shoot him, but who's there to save the day? None other than Secret Service Agent Hallmark. He saves him and finds out that he's got a son sitting in seat D10, and if he could, you know, go get him, if the Secret Service agent could go get his son and tell him everything's okay, then Van Damme would continue to disarm the bombs. Well, it cuts to Secret Service agent Hallmark talking to the main bad guy. Come to find out, he's working for him and is supposed to get a cut. So the main bad guy tells him to go get the son. Hallmark goes and he tries, but Tyler is smarter than he looks and decides, you know, he says, my dad told me to sit here and even if the place is coming down. And even the guy's like, I'm Secret Service. Come up to the vice president's box. Come up. And Tyler's like, I'll start screaming. I'm a kid. You know you won't be able to get me. And so, sure enough, the Secret Service agent gives up and leaves. He finds McCord and disarming the fifth bomb. So McCord tells him he's disarmed two more bombs since they last met. So now he's on bomb number five. Hallmark tells him, you know, pulls a gun on him, and McCord finds out that he's not really a good guy. So what does McCord do? He MacGyvers the shit again. Now, earlier, like through the movie, his son Tyler had a super soaker, and he was like squirting his sister with it, and you never knew like why, you know, why do you have that super soaker? Well, Van Damme decides to put gasoline in it, and he shoots the super soaker on the dude, and then holds a lighter up to it and turns it into this giant flamethrower. Now, it wasn't a very big super soaker. It was like a handheld little like water pistol type super soaker. Believe it or not, I have tried this before. One, you can't really hold gasoline too long in those things because the gasoline starts eating away at the rubber and it won't work. Two, when you shoot it out of a super soaker like that onto a lighter, it kind of like just kind of puts the lighter out. I mean, it doesn't create a giant flamethrower like it did in this movie. Nonetheless, he burns the dude, turns him into Two-Face, ends up knocking him out with a pistol. And that's the last we see of Hallmark. This movie is like kind of like a fucked up Home Alone movie. You know, like he's making all these crazy traps and gadgets out of like a super soaker and a fire extinguisher. Kind of gives off like a little Home Alone vibe. I don't know. Not too much though, but a little bit. He takes the phone from the cell phone from Hallmark. Total 90s cell phones, by the way. And he calls the main bad guy, tells him they're going to play a game where he's going to find all the bombs and dude's going to lose and all this shit. And if he kills his daughter, he's going to lose because pretty much he's like, I don't have anything else to lose. If my daughter dies, then I'm going to come kill you. But he keeps forgetting that his son Tyler is still sitting in CD10 on his birthday by himself. Probably for the better, though. He's probably a lot safer there than his sister is. Who's going to need a lot of therapy after this, by the way. So, it just shows Van Damme finding more bombs. The main bad guy threatens the little girl, and she stamps him on his hand with a bunny stamp. That comes into play later on. A lot of foreshadowing that happens in this movie. It's actually pretty, the dialogue's pretty good in this movie. Like, the commentators who are commentating, you know, the hockey game are hilarious. They say some funny stuff. So then we get a chase sequence, okay? So he finds a bomb underneath the stands, and he goes out, and two of the bad guys sees him. So he starts running down the stairs in the stadium, and he's not running down the stairs, I'm sorry. He's running down the seats. So he's going like empty seat to empty seat, running down it. And then at one point you see him, like the stunt guy, like trip and start rolling down the thing. And I don't think it was meant for that to happen, but they left it in. But it's just so funny because he's like rolling over people and going falling down these seats. And like nobody really seems fazed by it at all. So this long chase sequence happens. He runs through. Ends up going into the Penguins' locker room, where one of the players, the goalie, is out laying down because he has like 104 degree fever or something like that, and he can't really play. So he's laying down. Van Damme takes all of his equipment, puts it on, and decides to go out into the hockey rink and sit down at the Penguins'. And on their bench. So here comes Van Damme into the actual hockey game. The coach is like, what the fuck are you doing? If you're feeling better, get on out there. So they put Van Damme into the hockey game as goalie. So here comes that foreshadowing about how he was a goalie when he was younger. So he starts playing hockey. He makes an amazing save. The commentators say it's the save of the year. And then he does a little sign language to his son. I love you in sign language. He does that to his son. And his son's like, oh my God, that's my dad. And then he goes and punches a Blackhawk player in the face. Starts a huge fight because he's got to get out of the game. And then as he's going down, there's some like ADR of the coach going, that's a... Tolover, that's a $1,000 fine. So not only does Van Damme make an incredible save for this dude who's sick laying in the locker room, but now he also got him $1,000 fine. So he might be the MVP, but you have to pay $1,000 of that money. He ends up dipping out back into the locker room where he kicks a dude in the face with skates on while wearing goalie padding. And if you ever seen goalie padding, they have those big giant things on their legs and stuff. This dude straight up, like, kicks, back kicks this dude with. Like, that's got to be hard to do. It was pretty impressive. Well, we're coming down to the end of the third period, and the money's not done transferring. So, dude's about to blow everything up. Van Dam gets out of the goalie padding, kills a couple more people, runs and looks. Well, just as the timer is about to hit zero, the Pittsburgh Penguins score to tie the game up, which put them into, here it comes, guys, name of the movie, Sudden Death Overtime. The score is 4-4, Chicago 4, Pittsburgh 4. And we're in sudden death, guys. First team to make a goal wins. I don't know if that's how hockey is. I always thought they like did like a shoot-off. If it was a tied game, you get like three or four people and they all take shots. And whoever makes the most of the shots win. I could be wrong about that. Let me know. VDitsJC@gmail.com or over at Manza Squirrel Network on Facebook. So we're in sudden death. This gives Van Dam a little bit more time to find some more of the bombs. He decides he's going to climb to the top of the arena and open, which he's like, fuck it, I'm done finding bombs. So he climbs to the top of the arena, opens the dome, fights some people. He knocks one dude, gets knocked into the, like down the side of the dome on the outside. He goes sliding down. Another dude he fights, knocks him into the arena, and he falls right into the center the scoreboard that hangs in the middle of the hockey rink. I don't know if you ever seen it. I'm sure some of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's there in basketball games, too. There's a little square scoreboard that's hanging there. The guy falls into it. The scoreboard goes out. Everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? Here comes Jean-Claude Van Damme rappelling in. And everybody's like, what the fuck is this? Then Jean-Claude Van Damme grabs one of the remote control cameras, zip lines down the dome, and crashes through the vice president's skybox. Starts opening up fire. Doesn't care about, like, I guess the you know, hostages or anything, but he ends up missing all the hostages, the vice president, he misses his daughter, shoots, kills all of the bad guys except for the main bad guy who dips out the door and is gone. At this time, everybody's freaking the fuck out and they're running out of the stadium. Everybody except for Tyler, he sits in that seat and watches as everybody freaks out and is running away and he doesn't move. So the main bad guy's like, let's see how many you've got, and starts clicking the little bomb, and nothing's going off. Well, McCord got all of the bombs except for one, which I think is pretty impressive. The only bomb he missed was the one that was connected to a water main, and the main bad guy blows it up and kind of floods a hallway in one section of the arena. I'm telling you. There was like, I think there was 10 bombs. He said there was 10 bombs. C4. 10 C4 explosives. Tiny C4 explosives. It wasn't even a lot. Set at various spots in the stadium, which would not blow up the entire stadium. One was like an electrical box where you would blow it up. It'd probably take out all the electricity. The other one was put on a water main. Well, yeah, it might inconvenience everybody trying to take a shit, and you probably flooded one of the hallways like you did, but that's not going to blow the place up. Another one was underneath one section of the stands. So yeah, you're going to kill a few people that way, but you're not going to blow up the whole thing. I mean, they didn't show where the other bombs were. One was like down in the gas pipes. I guess that one was really the only one that could probably blow the whole stadium up. So I feel like all the other ones were just unnecessary. But what do I know? I'm not a crazy bomber like that. So he finally goes and gets his son, and it's all emotional. And his son's like, I didn't leave, Dad. I didn't leave. Not even when the whole stadium was falling down around me. And Van Damme hugs him, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And so he's getting out with it. Like, you get kind of, I think the son was a mistake. Honestly, I think the son was a mistake. I don't think McCord, Darian McCord, ever wanted to have his son, because he's all about his daughter. He like loves his daughter and shit, but the son, he's just like, it's your birthday, stay here. Anyway, so they go to leave, and the daughter sees the stamp that he put on the main bad guy's hand, and she's like, there he is, daddy, there he is. And so she gets kidnapped. So she leaves again, gets kidnapped by the main bad guy for wandering off yet again, and Van Damme has to leave his son on his birthday yet again to go save his daughter. So there's, you know, fight scene between the main bad guy and Van Damme. He's like getting his ass kicked because, like I said, he doesn't fight like he's a badass martial artist in this movie. He fights like he's just a regular dude trying to save his daughter. Well, the bad guy's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to kill your daughter, and you can sit there and live with that. So he shoots. Van Damme jumps in front of the bullet, gets shot in the shoulder. Main bad guy gets on the helicopter, climbs up the rope of a helicopter, and Van Damme climbs up and starts shooting up into the helicopter, kills the pilot. Now, then he hops off of the rope back onto the top of the arena, the big dome in the arena. He hops off onto that, and the plane goes straight up and down, slides very neatly and slowly through this tiny opening that Van Damme made earlier in the dome of the arena, and goes past the daughter, everything, hits the ice, blows up, main bad guy's dead, and so then it cuts to Van Damme being loaded into the back of an ambulance. The son is no longer talking shit about his father. He's all like, oh, that's my dad. That's my dad. He's the best. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I would be pumped too if my dad helped make one of the major saving catches as goalie in the Stanley Cup and saved pretty much the vice president and everybody from being killed. That's pretty impressive. So he gets in, the door shuts, and you hear the son goes, my daddy's a fireman. The end. It was an awesome movie. I mean, it only took me, we're going on about 38 minutes right now. It only took me about 38 minutes to talk about this movie, because it's like nonstop from the beginning to the end. I think it was like an hour and 45 minutes long, so it probably could have had 15 minutes cut off of the beginning opening sequences. They probably didn't need all that bullshit. They probably could have just been like, here's the bad guys getting the thing, they're in the stadium, let's get this shebang going. And nonstop action. Loved it. Good movie. I gotta say, you know, we just hit our 1 year anniversary, and so I'm going, you know, it's been an awesome first year. Like, every month of this year, I have gotten to sit down and really watch a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie and, you know, summarize it so that other people, hopefully, whoever's still listening to this podcast, you know, you might not have seen the movie. You might have seen it a long time ago. And I hope just hearing how awesome these movies are, you know, it makes you want to go out and watch them. And if you've never seen them, I hope you, like, listen to this and you go, I really want to see that movie. That's my whole plan of this. I'm not here to, like, you know, really go deep into what these movies are, because I just love Jean-Claude Van Damme. I just love his movies. And I love the fact that every month I get to watch another movie. And speaking of that, next month we are getting into yet another amazing Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It is the 1996 movie The Quest, where Jean-Claude Van Damme helped direct it. I'm almost positive he brought in, this was written by Frank Dukes, the guy. I am going to double check, and I'll let you know next episode, next month. But I'm almost positive that this was written by Frank Dukes, directed by Jean-Claude Van Damme. Now, who's Frank Dukes? Well, he's the person who wrote Bloodsport, supposedly based on a true story. Now, what's so great about the Quest? Well, it's pretty much Bloodsport, for the most part. I'm not going to get into it too much here, but it's pretty much like Bloodsport, but different in ways, and we'll kind of compare and contrast next episode on that. But I'm excited to watch that, so if you get a chance, watch the 1996 movie The Quest, and yeah, make sure you like, subscribe, follow Magic Squirrel Network on Facebook. That's where you'll find me. And if you want to listen to one of my other podcasts I do, I got a comedy, improv comedy podcast called Pointless Discussions, where we're on season 3 right now, and each season has been a different improv narrative that gets made up right on the spot. This season we are doing a Wild West improv narrative called Pointless Redemption, where we ask listeners to submit names of wanted people and episode titles, and we got a whole good list. We got a good list from our listeners, and it's been a lot of fun. That's Pointless Discussions. And another one that I just recently started, we just finished the first season. It's called Two Sides and a Biscuit, a Limp Bizkit tribute podcast. Two Sides and a Biscuit, you can find that anywhere. Me and my buddy Rick Wimmer just talking Limp Bizkit life, and at the end, Rick gives a recipe. So yeah, Magic Squirrel Network, you can find all those shows, magicsquirrelnetwork.com. I think that's going to do it for me this month. Thanks, everybody, for making this past year amazing. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody, who's left me a review, even the guy who gave me the 3-star review and said that he really wanted to listen to this podcast and love it, but it just wasn't professional enough for you. Thanks. I appreciate it. And I'm sorry, but you know, I just love Van Damme, and I love talking Van Damme, and this has been Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. Kumite.
The squirrel was magic!
Do you like zombies, video games, and risking your life from the comfort of your own home? Then tune in to Ashley's Zombies, Saturdays, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, only on Magic Squirrel Network.